the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site that covers your Arizona Cardinals. And with me recording on a Thursday afternoon is our second show of the week. We weren't sure what was going to happen, but enough stuff and ideas came up that we're going to do it. My co-host, Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com. I'm the Arizona Cardinals site from SB Nation, also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. I'm going to keep plugging that show. That's a show that you want to listen to as often as you can. Right now, get on the become a patron on the $2 level or the $4 level. You can get their bonus shows as they wrap up this draft season, and then you can follow along as they hit the college previews and the college season, all sorts of good stuff throughout the year. Seth, not a lot's going on in the Cardinals land right now. It's mock draft after mock draft, and who are the Cardinals trading? But there's an interesting topic, and I'll be honest, I didn't consider it until yesterday. And this is about the idea of trading for a big-time receiver, and it's under one particular context. And Seth, you and I know that the big debate about the Cardinals and the draft right now is stay at number 4, draft Marvin Harrison, trade back, get more picks. And we've talked about that, right, Seth, on the show a lot. But we're going to find out what the actual thing is. Which do you think will actually happen? Like, just predicting. Do you think they're going to stay, or do you think, like, if you had in your gut right now, are they going to keep it, or are they going to trade it?
You know, from everything I've heard everybody talk to is, it's going to take a king's ransom to have them move off the pick, meaning that a team is going to have to overwhelm and overpay what they're going to over what would be the normal, you know, thought process. So everybody kind of uses that 49ers Miami deal as like the baseline, right? Like 3 ones and a 3. That's the thought process. But you have to remember that this is a unique situation. First, there's rarely this much of a fever or fervor for quarterbacks 1 through 4.
Right.
Meaning that we've heard from multiple places that, you know, the Giants, the Vikings, and the Raiders are all interested in making a quarterback selection from one of the top 4. They think these are the guys.
And also Denver is very realistic as well.
Well, Denver, yeah. So there's 4 other teams. So what ends up happening is that what is considered the norm, if you will, is kind of thrown out the window, or it's the ante is up, so to speak, in that you're going to have to overpay to get the job done. And so from, again, I think we talked about it a little bit from like the Minnesota Vikings standpoint, the conversation starts with 11 and 23 this year, but that's where it starts.
Right,
like,
right, absolutely.
That's not even close to enough. And we're doing our SB Nation mock draft right now. And so today was supposed to be the day I posted, but I traded the 4th overall pick for number 11 with the Vikings. And their initial offer was 111 this year, 123 this year, and next year's 3. And I just said, it's going to have to be a first. Like that's the reality of it, or I'm not moving. And that's, again, part of the reason I said that is because that's kind of what I've heard from,
right,
not necessarily Cardinals people, but from people that are gauging if the Cardinals would be willing to move. And so in that instance, it just becomes, okay, if you overwhelm us with three first round picks, we'll do it, because that allows you to be bold in whatever you want to do. So you move back to 11, and you know, the dream obviously right now is you call the Chargers and you say, hey, we'll give you 11 and 27 for five, and then you go get Marvin Harrison, and you still gain,
got, and then you, so you lost one spot at the top, you gained four spots at the back end, and you picked up a one next year, and you still got your guy. That's perfect.
Right. And so that's, you know, that's the idea. I don't know if that's a plausible thing. Spoiler alert, it is if I'm the GM, but but you know, this is all on paper. So that's kind of where I situate at, is that if you have, and we talked about this on Tuesday's show, if you have a glaring, obvious need that is wide receiver, and you get the opportunity to pick your highest rated wide receiver, you really, that's just an opportunity you really shouldn't pass on. But then sometimes things happen and you go, oh, okay, well, I can make that deal then. And so like that was the whole thing about, and I know it's just a mock draft and what I do really has no bearing on anything, but from the sense of, you know, what it would take to move off of Marvin, the guarantee of Marvin Harrison, that's what I'm guessing it's going to be kind of similar, right? Like, it's going to have to be, oh man, we have to get this, or we're not interested. And if that doesn't happen, then what are the alternatives? And you know, is just going with Marvin Harrison Jr. a bad thing? I don't think so, right?
You're right. That doesn't feel that. But so what we want to play in this episode of the show, and I'm going to say this, mock drafting type things, these are always just scenarios. Neither one of us right now have any sort of real solid information as to what the insight is of what teams are doing. But this is a topic that, let us assume, the Cardinals get that ransom from the Vikings. We're going to assume it's the Vikings. They have 11, 23, 27, and a first next year, but they move off of number four. And that, for me, that poses an interesting question, because it looks like they're going to miss out on the three top receivers. That would be, you know, Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. And this is considered a very deep and talented receiving class. But my fear is that, and kind of looking at the receivers and having listened to what you guys have said on your show about the receivers, you'd be really missing out on an opportunity. And what the Cardinals need, because the Cardinals receiver room is woefully not good, right? the top three that are projected right now, Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch, Chris Moore, have not even, granted Wilson was a rookie this year, but that's 6-10, but no one's even reached 600 yards in a season. And to go into that this season with that room, you're like, none of those guys is a true number one. They can be good. None of them's an alpha receiver. And the Cardinals have been used to having an alpha receiver for a really, really long time. Cardinals fans are used to that, whether it's Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin, DeAndre Hopkins. They're used to that. And the Cardinals don't have that this year. And so drafting Marvin Harrison makes sense. But if they don't, who is that alpha beyond there? And I think there's a real lot of good receivers, but to me, most of them are good, productive receivers who will be better if you've got an alpha in the room already. And so this is the scenario. If they can't draft the alpha with three first-round picks, there's a couple of options for trade, maybe. And the name that I keep coming back to is Brandon Ayuk. Going to establish this right now. I don't think the 49ers will actually trade him. It sounds like contract talks between them and Debo Samuel the last couple years ago when everything got fine after he paid him, after they paid him. And if the 49ers ever got serious about trading him, there was absolutely zero chance they would trade him to the Cardinals. So I'm going to say that right now, but this is my way of thinking. I would be willing to trade, and I would actively seek a trade for Brandon Ayuk. If there's one thing we've seen of him over the last couple of years in San Francisco, he's become an alpha. He's that guy. And that it's not even Deebo Samuels is the motor for that team. Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel makes is a difference maker, but the alpha receiver is unquestionably Brandon Ayuk. He's turned into that guy. As kids like to say, he's him. And that's exactly the type of receiver the Cardinals need. There's a lot of, it matched. He went to Arizona State and all that. So trade for Brandon Ayuk and still draft one of the lesser guys. Like, you and I both agree, and we talked about this before the show, of all the other receivers in the class, we think that maybe the one other alpha in the group is A.D. Mitchell out of Texas, but everyone else would be, you'd be a really nice number two or a low end one, but you want to have an alpha, and then you have a guy who can play off that alpha guy. And so you bring in Ayuk, you trade for him, you pay him his money because he's at that point in his career at age 26. That's the perfect time to pay him. He's going to be super productive for the next 3-4 years. And then you add a Troy Franklin, or you add a Keon Coleman, or you add Xavier Leggett, or you add, like, there's so many of those other really talented receivers. You don't have to worry about being a disappointment because they didn't become, Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson. You can have them be Christian Kirk like, or Hollywood Brown like, only a productive, healthy Hollywood Brown, right? And I would be even willing to trade one of those three either 23 or 27, in a combination of maybe 23 or 27 and maybe a day three pick last next year, and then getting back like a fourth round pick this year to lessen the price. I'm willing to do that. I know the price for receivers hasn't been high. We saw what Houston acquired Stephon Diggs for. That's a different situation. Stephon Diggs is older and he was unhappy. That's different than Ayuk. But I don't know what you think about that. I'd be willing to go as high as a first rounder, knowing that if there was a chance to trade with the 49ers, it would come with an in-division premium, and they would have to, quote-unquote, overpay or give up more than what they would likely give up to send up to another team if it actually came to that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not unreasonable. And like you said, I think the chances of anything like this happening are slim and none. Obviously, in any business, you never say never, right? But it's interesting. It's an interesting thought process in looking at it and what has been traded for receivers recently. It makes you wonder what the market even would be, right? Like, would Ayuk have a market before this class, before this draft class, or like before day one of this class? You know what I'm saying? Like, or would this be something where it's, oh, we're going to wait, see how day one plays out?
I would do that deal. So it would be, because I don't think a trade with the Vikings would materialize, would actually happen until the Cardinals are on the clock. And then you're going down, doing down, and you're like, and then you get down towards, and you're like, Brandon Ayuk traded to the Cardinals, and it's a deal because you decided, or it would come, for me, it would come soon thereafter that trade, that you're basically, okay, we've got this. Hey, John Lynch, we're all in. Let's do this.
Yeah, and so that's where it really comes down to, and so you're just going to have to see how it works out. I think, 27 for IU, because of his, obviously, his pedigree and his age is ideal. I'm always okay with trading for established stars, because I just think that it's the draft's really hard, especially like you said, like in that 20 range, right? Like getting a guy. And so Ayuk is just turned 26. So you get him, you sign him to a 5-year, $125 million contract. You know, he's back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He's played in a offense that's fairly run heavy and shown elite production. I think it's ideal and would be, you know, would be a great fit. And that's what you have to look at, is how it's going to work, how it would really, really play out. And so, you know, in this case, I think 27 for Ayuk, knowing that you're going to have to, like I said, I'm guessing like 5,100, 5,125 is going to be the range, you know, 20, 25 million a year. And that's, I don't want to say fair, because, you know, but that's a good market deal for a guy like him. But that's also the biggest issue with making a trade at all, is that if you make that trade, and the next one we'll talk about it, you'll see, you know, you'll hear me talk differently. You are basically fast forwarding his contract, as opposed to, you know, just sitting at 4 and taking Marvin Harrison and having that contract, right?
Yes. So, but again, the context here that we're going with, listeners, is that the Cardinals made the decision to move off of 4 because, not because of Ayuk, but they believe that the value of the 2 firsts and then the next year first is greater than Marvin Harrison. And in that case, because you don't get him, you can use one of those picks to go get a guy who is already, like, honestly, a guy that you hope most receivers could potentially maybe become already.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is outside of maybe the top three, like you said, and there's not even a guarantee that those guys are, you know, even like a Marvin Harrison, right, is not a guarantee. But outside of the top three, you're really just hoping to get something as good as what Brandon Ayuk is. And that's what makes it difficult. You know, and so when you look at it from that point of view, it just becomes, it makes sense from that perspective. Now, you can say that about Ayuk, but you had another scenario you want to talk about as well, right?
Yes, yes. And before we go to that, in this scenario, I still am very much on board with taking a receiver at 35 or at 66. And there are a number of talented receivers that you go, yeah, a Brendan Rice, a Xavier Leggett, Troy Franklin, Keon Cole, any of those guys, I'm still like, yeah, I like those. I just wasn't, like, I am not sold on them as the guy. Like, and so add them to a room that has Ayuk and Wilson and Dortch, and I'm like, yeah, I really like that. So, but coming next on the Rise Up Secrets podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web, let us discuss T. Higgins and what do we think about a trade for him. That's coming next on Rise Up Secrets. We're back on the Rise Up Seared podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. We talked about Brandon Ayuk. What about the franchised T. Higgins? He isn't, like, he's had some 1,000-yard seasons. He's a very talented player. You could say he's also an alpha. Like, he's not Jamar Chase, but I think in that Bengals locker room, in that receiver room, he is that guy too. But the first-round pick, right, it feels different, right? Why is it different about T. Higgins than Brandon Ayuk? Because it is the same for me. I'm like, first-round pick, yeah, I'm all in on Brandon Ayuk. T. Higgins, I'm like, third. I'll give up 71 for him.
Yeah, and for me, that's what it comes down to, is Higgins is a different type of guy. One, he hasn't been healthy his entire career, which is always an issue. And it's not that he like misses huge swaths of games, but he's missed 2 to 3 games every season, and he's perpetually dinged up. And it's not like, you know, this year
where, I was back in college when he was at Clemson, wasn't the same.
Yes. And that's not like where T. Higgins missed a game this year because they had already locked up the one seed and they just sat everybody in week 17, right? Like that's a different situation. What you're talking about is that Higgins, you know, this year he only played in 12 games. Last year he played in 16. Obviously that's a close enough to a full season. The year before that, though, only 14. His most productive year, by the way, so 14. And then, you know, again, his rookie year, he only played in 16. So you look at it, he's been
that rookie year, by the way, he played in all 16 because 2020 was 16 games.
2020 was, yeah. And so, you know, you look at it, it's just one of those situations where it's lower body soft tissue stuff for a guy that has, like you said, had that dating back to Clemson. He's been a very, very good receiver, but he hasn't been on the same plane, or his trajectory isn't the same as what we've seen from Brandon Ayuk. And so for that reason, like you said, the highest you might go, I mean, maybe 66, right? Like,
yeah.
Maybe, you know, you're not going to quibble over
five spots.
Five spots. But like, ideally, yeah, you would get him with one of those third round picks. The bigger issue with Higgins has been his desire to be paid. And that's, as everybody knows, we are always pro player in this situation and get what you can and go, you know, go for it. But at the end of the day, when a guy kind of shows you that he wants to not just be paid, but he really wants a lot of money, it makes it a little more difficult, right? And that's kind of what's going on with Higgins right now and why he's in this situation to begin with, because you're talking about a guy that wants to be paid like one of the top guys in the NFL. And while he is very good, and I don't want to take anything away from him or what he is as a player, I'm not paying this dude $25
million. Yeah. That is the other part that, and once you get hit, and you and I were talking before the show, like once you franchise a guy, it guarantees two things with contract negotiations. One, you must, like, I think his number's $21.8 million this year for 2024 under the franchise tag. That means you're starting at $21.8 million per year on the per-year average. You look at, there's like three parts that if you kind of look at contracts, there's basically three parts to it that players and agents like. One, how much money in year one, how much guaranteed money in the deal, and the per year average, because that's negotiating tactics for future negotiations for other players. It's kind of helping the market. And so Higgins will want $22 million in cash this year in year one. So that's a combination of the signing bonus and first year salary. He's going to expect X amount of guaranteed, of course, but then the per year average has got to start at about $22 million. That's where it's, and so it only goes up from there. And as T. Higgins, like I like him, I do. Although I would say it's not my money. and if you add T. Higgins, and I'd actually be slightly worth, like I wouldn't go, I wouldn't be against drafting a receiver at the top like Harrison and then trading for Higgins. And I've heard, like, you know, not reliable sources, but I've heard from people who have heard that the Cardinals have considered Higgins. And he would make for what he would be the expensive one in the room, obviously. You draft Harrison, you have Higgins, and you've got yourself a nice situation, kind of like Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, only now Higgins has been paid, and so he doesn't need to feel he will feel respected financially, even if he's not necessarily the guy.
Yeah, and that's what makes it difficult, right? So, you know, you look at it, it seems like this is an opportunity and one you could exploit. But at the same time, for me, it's just the contract that comes with it. I like Higgins, but I like, and I know the money's gone up, but man, $20 million a year just seems like a lot for him. And that, again, it's not a negative thing on him. But it does feel like it's going to be a tough one to swallow.
Yeah. It's very weird for like, maybe it's because like T. Higgins is a very good player on a team that has an absolute star of a receiver in Jamar Chase. And
right. And that makes everything more difficult, right?
Right. Exactly. And so if we look at Jamar Chase entering the year, so Higgins was drafted the year before Chase. And what was Minnesota in 2020? They were 4-11-1. Now, granted, that was Joe Burrow's rookie year. But when did Joe Burrow suddenly look like a star? It was the addition of Chase. He had T. Higgins, but it was the addition of Chase that turned Burrow into something special. You know, kind of like when Hopkins was added to Kyler Murray, Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, things like that. Once you get that guy, those young star quarterbacks look like absolute stars. And so, and maybe it's just unfair to do that, to have him like his. The turnaround of the Bengals came not with Higgins, it came with Chase. And doesn't Higgins' situation feel like Anquan Boldin?
Yeah, it does a lot. And that's kind of what is hard about this, is that you've seen it play out, but you have to remember that they're also two very different types of players.
Oh, yeah, so absolutely. But you see the kind of thing, because Anquan Boldin was the guy. Then they drafted Larry. Anquan was still the guy. He's still super productive. But it was Fitz that got the money. And so Anquan leaves, and he ends up having a borderline Hall of Fame career, a different type of Hall of Fame career. But it kind of feels kind of the same thing, that T. Higgins is this generation's Anquan Boldin, right? For an organization like the Bengals, and maybe we'll see. Maybe it'll end up being worth it, because Anquan Boldin had more on-field, at least team success, than Fitzgerald ever did, going across the board because of his time with the Ravens. And maybe that will be what Higgins ends up doing, but we'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what it's really going to matter is how he performs. And, you know, the conjecture of the contract is obviously where my hang up would be, as opposed to Ayuk. And you can say that about any player, right? Like, any player can not be healthy or, you know, not work out because of injuries and things like that. But at the end of the day, that's kind of where you want to find this guy, is that you want to find a guy that you have for a long period of time. He's young, a little bit younger than Ayuk, which is another nice thing, right? And that you can have as a cornerstone. It's just, you know, when it comes to Higgins versus the draft picks the pick, you know, like you said, going away if they trade away 4 and they end up moving down to 11 or 12 or whatever, that you just kind of feel like that's not that could work out, but it doesn't feel as confident as taking Marvin Harrison or even, you know, obviously one of the top three wide receivers in this draft.
But what would absolutely be fantastic if the Cardinals draft Marvin Harrison, so they get a star in Harrison and they get a receiver that's actually done something in the NFL. That'd be fantastic. I'd feel much better if the receiving room. I don't want to put that on Harrison's shoulders in year one. Because guess what? It's hard being a rookie receiver. It's hard. And as Harrison's as prepared as like, I still want like Greg Dortch isn't the answer. I think Greg Dortch is in like misses to grow and be better. Mike Wilson, I'm not ready to count on him yet. Get somebody's produced. Get somebody's produced to some level, and then you don't have to. Now you're not. You don't have to call Harrison. You don't have to have Larry Fitzgerald or Hall of Fame expectations of this rookie, which is completely unfair. And maybe he'll live up to it, but I don't want to put that on him in year one.
Right. Exactly.
And with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up this edition of the Rise of Seward podcast, a shorter one, so it's a best half hour of Cardinals talk on the web today, episode 530. That's Seth Cox. I'm Just Root. We'll talk more draft in the weeks to come. We're 3 weeks away, and that's going to be a good time. Seth, thanks for coming on. Thanks for being with me. Thanks for listening as always, guys.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.